Welcome to the Story Weaver podcast. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Salutations and welcome to Poetry with Bron. This week we reach a milestone on the Story Weaver podcast, 100 episode plays. For some people, they reach that milestone in their very first week of their podcast, and for others it takes a little bit longer. I'm happy to be here. It's one of many milestones that I hope to meet. I wasn't sure how long it would take, but I have a royal band of regular listeners, and that's all that matters. So here's to the next milestone, and thank you for your support. Today I'll be reading from the book The Poems of Sappho, an interpretive rendition into English by John Myers O'Hara, sourced from the Project Gutenberg site, which is www.gutenberg.org. The link will be in the episode description. If you're not familiar with Sappho, she was a popular Greek lyric poet from the island of Lesbos around the 6th century BCE. While she was a prolific poet and well-regarded, there is a lot about her that we don't know yet. Much of what survives of her work is in fragments, and the pieces are still being discovered. But even in fragment form, we can clearly see why she was known as the 10th Muse. Today I'll be reading some of the pieces known as the Sapphics, starting with the Muses. Hither now, O Muses, leaving the golden house of God unseen in the azure spaces, come and breathe on bosom and brow and kindle song like the sun glow. Come and lift my shaken soul to the sacred shadow, cast by Helicon's rustling forests. Sweep on wings of flame from the middle ether, seize and uplift me. Thrill my heart that throbs with unwonted fervour, chasten mouth and throat with immortal kisses, till I yield on maddening heights the very breath of my body. Moon and Stars by Sappho. When the moon at full on the sill of heaven lights her beacon, flooding the earth with silver, all the shining stars that about her cluster hide their fair faces. So when Anactoria's beauty dazzles, sight of mine grown dim with the joy it gives me, Gorgo, Attis, Gyrano, all the others fade from my vision. The Rose by Sappho. If it please the whim of Zeus in an idle hour to choose a king for the flowers, he surely would have crowned the rose for its regal beauty, deeming it peerless. By its grace is valley and hill embellished. Earth is made a shrine for the lover's ardour. Dear it is to flowers as the charm of lovely eyes are to mortals. Joy and pride of plants, and the garden's glory, beauty's blush it brings on the cheek of meadows, draining fire and dew from the dawn for the rarest colour and odour. Softly breathed, its scent is a plea for passion. When it blooms, to welcome the kiss of Cypris, sheathed in fragrant leaves, its tremulous petals laugh in the zephyr. Probably the only full poem that is in existence by Sappho is called Ode to Aphrodite. And I shall read you that one now. Ode to Aphrodite by Sappho. Aphrodite, subtle of soul and deathless, daughter of God, weaver of wiles, I pray thee, neither with care, dread mistress, nor with anguish, slay thou my spirit. But in pity hasten. Come now, if ever from afar of old, when my voice implored thee, thou hast deigned to listen, leaving the golden house of thy father. With thy chariot yoked, and with doves that drew thee, fair and fleet around the dark earth from heaven, dipping vibrant wings down the azure distance through the mid-aether. Very swift they came, and thou gracious vision, leaned with face that smiled in immortal beauty, leaned to me and asked, "What misfortune threatened? Why, I had called thee. What my frenzied heart craved in utter yearning, whom its wild desire would pursue to passion? What disdainful charms, madly worshipped, slight thee? Who wrongs thee, Sappho?" She that fain would fly, she quickly follow. She that now rejects, yet with gifts shall woo thee. She that heeds thee not, soon shall love to madness, love thee, the loath one. Come to me now thus, goddess, and release me from distress and pain, and all my distracted heart would seek, do thou, once again, fulfilling, still be my ally. Summer by Sappho. Slumber streams from quivering leaves that listless bask in heat and stillness of Lesbian summer. Breathless swoons the air with the apple blossom's delicate odour. From the shade of branches that droop and cover shallow trenches, winding about the orchard, restful comes, and cool to the sense, the flowing murmur of water. When one hears these little snippets, these fragments, one gets just a tiny tantalizing glimpse of what the entire poem, the entire song must have sounded like. It's just teasing. There's such beautiful imagery, and it would be lovely to just hear the full pieces. That's just me, I suppose. Just a little bit of whimsy. And we're lucky that we have the pieces that we do surviving. And now I'll read a few from The Girlfriends. Prelude by Sappho. Deftly on my little seven-string bartiboss, now to please my girlfriends, songs I set to music. Maidens fair, companions of the muses, never toward you shall my feelings undergo a change. Chanted in a plaintive, old Ionic measure, all the songs I give you are the songs of love. Gyrano by Sappho. Now the silver crescent of the moon has vanished, with the golden Pleiades drifting down the west. It is after midnight, and the time is passing. Hours we pledge to passion, and I sleep alone. Anger ill becomes thee, tender soul Gyrano. Shapelier is Dica, but less loved by me. Art thou still relentless, willful one, annulling all thy protestations in the fervid past? Can it, O Charites, be thou hast forgotten? Dost thou love another, even now, perchance? Ah, my tears are falling, yet in my despairing mood I lie and listen for thy furtive step, for the lightest rustle of thy flowing garment, for thy sweet and panting whisper at the door. Now the moon has vanished with the golden Pleiades. It is after midnight, and I sleep alone. It is no wonder she is referred to as the pioneer of love poetry. And please forgive me if I pronounce any of the names incorrectly. I do check most names, but I am afraid that tonight I have been a little lapse in checking the pronunciation. So please, if I am grossly mispronouncing anything, please drop me a letter and let me know. Thank you. Erinna by Sappho. Haughtier than thou, O far Erinna, I have never met with any maiden. Such a careless scorn as thine for passion, proves a dire affront to Aphrodite. When with soft desire she wounds thy bosom, thou shalt know love's pain and doubly suffer. Keep the gifts I gave thee, long rejected, fabrics for thy lap from far Phoenicia, Babylonian unguents, scented sandals, and the costly mitre for thy tresses, tripods worked in brass to flank the altar with the ivory figure of the goddess. Where the sacrificial fumes from sacred flames shall rise to gladden and appease her. In the hour when they call thy fervid breast and mouth to mine shall be relinquished. I will return to Sappho's poems further down the track, and hopefully this time I shan't butcher them as badly as tonight. It has taken several takes, and still I cannot do her poetry the justice that she deserves. And now for a change of pace, I'll read to you a few of my own poems. Perhaps we'll hear an echo of Sappho in some of my words. A Mighty Blade by Bronwrauk Mitchell. She was a well-crafted blade, forged in the very fires of hell, of the finest tempered steel, strong, lethal, balanced, flexible, a mighty weapon. They wanted to possess her, but she belonged to no one. Glorious in battle, a gift of the gods, a cut above the rest. Beauty by Bronwrauk Mitchell. She saw beauty all around her, in the obvious, brightly coloured flowers, brilliant sunsets, and adorable kittens. And in the hidden, the odd, the broken, the scarred, and the unfinished. But it didn't matter how hard she tried, she couldn't find the beauty in her own reflection, in her own scars and imperfections. Dark Cloak by Bronwrauk Mitchell. I once found the darkness terrifying. I knew there were real monsters lurking there, just out of sight, and they frightened me far more than any imaginary bogeyman. But now I find refuge in the darkness. I welcome its familiarity. I wear the darkness like a cloak and snuggle deep into its comforting embrace, because monsters lurk in the sunlight too. Fade by Bronwrauk Mitchell. You didn't see me slipping away when you wouldn't hug me. You didn't see me fading away as my light dimmed and the laughter trailed off. You didn't see the twinkle in my eyes die, replaced with a haunting look of terror. You didn't see me flinch as you screamed at me that I was your princess. You didn't see that you killed the spark in me. You did not see me. Indifferent. The cracks in her facade weren't discernible to others, for she held herself together with paste, tape, band-aids, and the wishes of the truly desperate, knowing at any moment it could all come apart, like the pages from a neglected book, manhandled by too many indifferent hands. Magician by Bronwrauk Mitchell. Like a magician, she turned her tears into exquisite jewels and her ugliest scars into poetry. Monster by Bronwrauk Mitchell. Monster, they call me, but I am merely their creation. Monster, they call me, but I am merely their reflection. Razor's Edge by Bronwrauk Mitchell. I am barely balanced on this razor's edge. At any minute I could slip and be sliced to ribbons. Yet I keep moving forward, one cautious step in front of the other, a tightrope walker performing for my life. Ticket Stubs by Bronwrauk Mitchell. It's true none of us are getting out of here alive, but while I'm here, I'm gonna give it my all. I wanna ride every ride, play every game, taste every snack, see every attraction in this grand old theme park, collecting scars, memories, experiences, the ticket stubs of my life. And that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you for tuning in, and please join me again on Friday for Elements of the Craft of Writing. And once more, I'm happy that you've all helped us to get through to the milestone of 100 episode plays. Here's to the next milestone. The Story Weaver podcast intro and outro were created by Paul using licensed music from Stock 20. Paul is also the editor for the show. If you would like to contact me, you can send me an email to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Farewell for now, dear friends.